Bada, how you doing? Happy Sunday to you. And we've been talking about here at Victorville today, the incredible week of Summer Blast. And we are so excited for the work that God's doing in young lives. And it really did take an army to make it happen. 600 kids, 200 volunteers, an incredible week of God making waves. We've still got the whole set up on stage and just thought, why would we tear that down? It's so cool. Makes us think of summer. And it's a great reminder to what God is up to in our lives. And for me, I had a small part to get to play in a couple days. And I got this free t-shirt and I thought, I'm going to wear this today because Todd needs an excuse to wear a t-shirt to church. So there we go. That's what it's all about. But we're so glad for all the investment and what God's doing in those lives. And actually, what that theme of what make waves meant this last week was all about the influence, the ripple of God's love, not just in our lives, but rippling from us into others, which is exactly what we're looking at today in God's word. You heard that we're in this series called Playlists. We've been looking at the Psalms, some selected Psalms on selected topics. Today, we're going to be in Psalm 96. So if you have a Bible, just kind of right in the middle of the Bible is where Psalms is. Find number 96. You'll be ready to go with us. If you have notes, you'll have those ready and be good to go. I want to welcome you here in Victorville and those that are joining us at Apple Valley, those at our Phelan campus, and those at Hesperia today as well. We're so glad you're making this a part of your weekend. Well, a couple of things that I actually want to catch you up to while you're finding your way to Psalm 96 today. HGC has a directional team that includes Pastor George Beardsley, Pastor Kurt Thielen, and myself. And what the three of us are doing, not in a vacuum, but along with the staff and very prayerfully, is really feel that call to set direction for where God's leading his church. And so you'll hear from me in the next few weeks about some updates of the things that we're working on. But I'm going to give you three today that we shared with our staff a couple of weeks ago, shared with our administrative board, and now I want to share with you about some decisions we've been making. And the whole exercise for the three of us have really been this. We have a multi-site church, and in that strategy of doing church that way, we're trying to clarify what does that model look like, and especially coming out of the pandemic or whatever stage we're in it today, what does that look like moving forward? So three clarifying things for you. One of those is that in moving forward, and this will happen in the next few weeks, is that we really believe that imperative to our model of ministry is that we would have campus pastors. And that's not to be confused with the same or a similar role before called a campus lead, where all four of our campuses had one lead pastor that all the staff reported to. These roles will be different, but there will be one person on all four of our campuses that will be providing that kind of sense of pastoral care and direction and leadership for that particular campus. So we're not ready yet to share those names with you, but wanted you to know that that new role will be putting into motion in the next few weeks moving forward. Secondly, during the pandemic, every church had to get good at online ministry. And there was just no doubt about it. That was the only way we could communicate. And HGC really took it up a notch. Our productions team did an amazing job learning how to communicate with you when we couldn't meet in person. In that time, as we're at this stage, one of the things we've been processing is what does that look like moving forward? What kind of degree or what kind of emphasis or what's the point, the philosophy of our online ministry? And while some churches have kind of gone to a direction of what you might even call digital discipleship, we've kind of said, you know what, of what we've been doing, we love it, but we're going to change our philosophy and our approach a little bit. And what we're going to begin using our online format for, especially related to weekend worship services, is what we would call a front porch. A front porch is where you meet someone, where you get acquainted, and hopefully you'll invite them into the house. And that's what we're going to start using our online worship services for, is we want to help people here in the high desert be able to find a campus and get connected, hopefully in person. And so we'll start using that online mechanism a little differently. One of the main ways that that'll change, if you ever watch us online, you'll note that that message is pre-recorded, and what we're doing kind of worship-wise, we've been putting together that week. Well, one of those changes we're gonna make is we're gonna shift to live stream our worship services. And what that's gonna mean is my third bullet is the other thing that we're doing is we're bringing back Saturday night service here at Victorville. So we're excited. Just like last service, you could care less about the first two. You're real excited about the third. I love it. That will begin in the fall. And what will begin happening is we'll live stream Saturday night, live stream Sunday morning, live stream Sunday morning. So those are some things that we're working on. We have more details to share, but I feel like that's an opportunity for me to talk to all four campuses and just kind of get those bullet points out there. And you'll see those flesh out a little bit more. We're excited for what God has been doing. And we are really excited about what's coming next. And so just keep walking with us, be excited about what God has in store. And one of the ways you can move from just being excited to actually kind of putting your hand to the plow, we've said it before, man, I have an incredible privilege to talk to pastors all over California. And when I do, and at this stage of the pandemic, they will tell me to a person, every single one is the same story, where there may be difficulties in some churches with finances, it's not every church. Where some churches are still struggling attendance-wise, it's not every church. But what every single church that I talk to is struggling with is people serving. And I have a hunch as to why. I think what happened was during the pandemic for many of us, church became that thing on Sunday mornings that we do in our pajamas for an hour. And that whole thing, which we did, and I think it was what it was, the problem is coming back out of that season, we've still kind of gone, well, that's kind of what church has become to me, is a worship service. Whereas before, many of us were serving in all kinds of different capacities throughout the week or on the weekend, along with attending a worship service. So this is me putting out there, especially as we think about a Saturday night service and all the different people serving to be able to make that happen, we need you. We need you. This is a time. Some of you would say, Todd, I've never served at HGC. Awesome. Let's get started. And so at every single campus, there is a display in the back lobby. And that display has cards like these. I grabbed a student ministry one today. And this has an explanation of what that kind of serving opportunity looks like. Most importantly, it has a phone number at the bottom that you can send a text to. And within 24 hours, you're gonna hear back from that team about what you can do next. And for some of you who would say, Todd, I don't really know. I get it. God's built me, equipped me to be able to be a blessing to other people, to serve. I just don't know where. I don't know how. I have great news for you. We have a really cool thing we do every August called the One Conference. And this year it's on Saturday, August 20th in the morning. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna pull all of our volunteers together and just have this incredibly fun, exciting rally to get a new ministry year kicked off. But if you're saying, Todd, I don't know where to serve, but I'd like to, we invite you that day too. Come and find out. We'll have a unique track just for you to try to find out where'd be the best place for my gifts to line up. We'd love to get you involved, and we'd love to keep moving forward. Well, here we are today, the end of this short series in the Psalms. And what we've been doing in the Psalms is we have found that we're finding ourselves in them. We picked five different Psalms from five different ideas or genres of what they're communicating. And each week, our hope has been that you will resonate with them, that you will say, man, somebody wrote that in the Bible? That's what I would have said to God, or that's how I'm feeling today, or how I've felt. And the great news of the Psalms is they're there for us so that we can say, God, I can communicate my thoughts, my feelings, my attitudes to you like this because you've already given license for us to have this kind of vulnerability and honesty and praise to you. So today we look at Psalm 96, and it's different from the other four in that number one, it's really more characteristic of most of the Psalms that calls upon people to lift their voices in praise to God. Many of the Psalms are Psalms of praise that just echo the character and the greatness, the magnitude of who God is. And today's Psalm is going to do that, but it's gonna take it a little bit of a different turn. And what it's gonna do is it's saying in that proclaiming, that declaring of the goodness of God, don't keep it to yourself. Don't let it be something that's only vertical, but let it influence people horizontally as well. You'll see what I'm talking about. Let's dive in. We're in Psalm 96, beginning in verse 1. And if my iPad would show up, then we'll be able to read it. There we go. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Look at verse 3. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Now, I'm wanting you to pay attention to a few things in particular in this psalm today. You'll note that in these first three verses, there were three what we call imperative verbs. An imperative verb is a command. It's a directive. You are to do this. And so as you look on the screen, when I provided the verses for you, we bolded those verbs. And what that means is God is calling you and me to do those things. It's not just something to note or something to read. These are action steps that we're called to be about. The other thing I want you to note is that 11 times in this one psalm, just one set, and it's about 14 verses long, in this one psalm, 11 times the proper name of God is used. I don't mean proper as though there are improper names. I mean, this is the name that God gave himself. When Moses said, who should I tell Pharaoh is calling me to take his people out of Egypt? God said, tell him, I am that I am. I am Yahweh. And that name, YHWH, is the name of God. Often we'll talk about God by way of title, the Lord, or God in a kind of a generic sense, but this is the name that God gave himself, Yahweh. So 11 times the name Yahweh is going to be used in this passage. And I think it's with great precision because the psalmist does not want you to be confused which God he's talking about. He's wanting you to know this unique God of Israel is who I'm talking about and who I'm calling you to worship, to praise. Now you noted in verse 3, it's not just praising God back to him, but praising God horizontally, that the nations, those who do not yet know him, would know him. This great news of the character of God, the goodness of God, is for everyone, not just a unique people group, not just for some of us, but for all of us. And it was true that God's calling then, that the psalmist recorded, it's still his calling. It echoes to us today. It's what I love about HTC, what we're called to be a people of influence. So let's write this down in our notes. This will be our main idea today. Praising God vertically, something we're called to in this psalm, praising God vertically is also a means of reaching your world horizontally. Praising God vertically, telling him how great he is, ways that we've done on all four of our campuses today by lifting our voices, but that is not reserved just for in these buildings with us. It's meant to be declared to the nations. And that's what I'm excited to dive in with you a little bit more today. One of the things that I think has happened over time as we read the former covenant, the Old Testament, is we begin to think that God had this unique people of Israel and that somehow they were the only people he loved. That's absolutely untrue. Or we might begin to think that this unique people of God, that he wanted to bless them just for the point of like, these are my people, right? We all kind of want to have people to belong to. These are my people. And that's wrong. God has always so loved the world, and his purpose for actually calling out a group of people was always for the purpose of blessing everybody else. This is how he said it. Genesis chapter 12, he comes to the father of that nation, a guy named Abram. This is how it reads. The Lord has said to Abram, verse 1 of chapter 12, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. You have to remember at this time, Abram doesn't have any kids. God, how are you gonna make me a childless man, a father of a nation? That's the kind of faith that Abraham would continue to demonstrate. He says, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Watch this. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You see, it never was God picking a favorite. Abram, I really dig you, dude. You've been amazing. And I really just wanna kind of just blow your socks off with all kinds of favor and all kinds of blessings. It's gonna be great. Now, from the very beginning, Abram, as you continue to follow me, I will bless you. I will take a fatherless couple and turn them into literally a nation, and I will pour out my unique blessings on them for the purpose of blessing the nations. That was always the heartbeat of God, blessed to be a blessing. That same people, that family, would go down to Egypt. They would incredibly multiply over a period of time, and then now a nation of millions would come out as former slaves. They're on the east side of the Jordan, ready to go into the promised land, and Moses is recapping what that whole journey has been like. And look what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 5, see, I, Moses speaking, I've taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them, these laws, in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe these laws carefully. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding. Watch, to the nations. The nations will take notice that God has uniquely given you a way to treat each other and a way to respond to him. Who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way that the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? So Moses saying the proximity of Yahweh is gonna cause other nations to wanna know him too. It's winsome. Who has a God that close? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I'm setting before you today? The commands of God, and if we live according to them, other nations will take note. So notice, the people of Israel were always meant to be a people of influence to the nations. It wasn't just about them. It was about their influence to other peoples. Once the land would be conquered and they would begin a sequence of kings, it's the third king of Israel, King Solomon, where this whole idea is realized. It says this in 1 Kings 4, verse 34, from all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. So the nations are coming to Israel's palace to hear their king and to be blown away, not just by his wisdom, but by the reality of how God has blessed this nation with the goal of not just being wow, but of saying, what about us? How can we know him too? It's always been the heart of God. And the great news is that HTC continues that mission of going to the nations with global workers, with missionaries. Just this week, I got an email about a brand new young couple who's on their way to the continent of Africa, that we are a part of their, we're their main sending church. That is so exciting. But I wanna say this, as important as it is to keep going to the nations and to keep telling people who haven't heard the great news of Jesus, it's equally important that we keep going to our world, to our oikos. Missions isn't something that's somewhere else over there. Missions is in your neighborhood. Missions is in your workplace. Missions is in your school. Because God's never called you to keep it to yourself. In the same way that great message has come to you, God uses us to bring it to others. In your notes, this is what I wrote. Though HDC supports missionaries abroad as our ambassadors, God has called us to be ambassadors. God's called us to be ambassadors here to those that he has supernaturally and strategically placed in our relational worlds. We call it your oikos. We call it the people that you do life with, the people who have a front row to watch all of who you are. You don't get to pretend in front of them because they live under your roof. They work right next to you in the cubicle. They're in the same class. They're on the same team. They're in the same workplace. And the reality is as they watch all of who you are, brokenness included, one of the things they're hopefully seeing is the Jesus who keeps transforming you. And the Jesus who keeps making you more and more like him. That's this unique thing. We've been about this for decades. And I love, this is my favorite thing about HGC, is the outward facing thoughtfulness that we have. God, you have called us to be a people of Jesus' influence in our relational worlds. And as a result, it keeps us sharp. As a result, it keeps us humble. As a result, it keeps us continuing to meet people and reach them where they are. And so what began with the nation of Israel continues today. It's God's desire still that the nations would know. As we talk today about, quote, the nations, would you do me a favor? Think of the people in your relational world who haven't yet responded to the gospel and get their name and their face. Don't worry right now about the continent of Africa. Worry about Victorville. Worry about Phelan. Worry about Apple Valley. Worry about Hesperia. These are the people I'm doing life with, God. These are the nations that you've brought into my world. Let's keep reading Psalm 96, verse 4. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. This stanza is really important in this psalm because it answers an obvious question. Whereas verse 3 said, declare to the nations how great God is. Some minds would be thinking, well, why are we worried about taking the news of our God to other people who already have their own religions, who already worship their own gods? And this stanza is really important because the psalmist is saying, there are no other gods. There are little g gods that are not gods that people worship, that people give themselves to, but that doesn't mean that they exist. It doesn't mean that they have power. It doesn't mean that they have authority. Now I'm gonna say this. This may be for some of us in this space today, this may be one of the first times you've ever heard anyone say, there's not a bunch of different gods, just pick yours and ride the path to the top and we'll all meet there. So I'm gonna let that sink in for just a second because I get that that blows up a worldview a little bit. Now, wait a second, Todd, what you're saying is that there's only one God and everyone else just isn't. There may be something that people pursue, but they're not truly a deity. They're not truly a God to follow. And what I'm telling you is it's not so much what I have to say. We just read it. It's a Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Watch this. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right. Now, can I say this? I know in our culture today, that sounds so intolerant, so narrow-minded. And it is going to be increasingly difficult in terms of adversity for people who don't want to hear that message. And interestingly enough, even under the umbrella of evangelical Christianity, people who don't want to say that. All I can say is what scripture tells me. So I'm going to say it. But I want to let that sink in for just a second because I believe in the same way this might have been paradigm shifting for the person who read this psalm or sang these words for the first time. God, why do we care about the other nations? They have their own systems. They have their own deities. Let them go. But when God's word teaches that they are non-gods, God's word teaches there's only one. What did it say? Other nations, they would worship the God of the valley. They'd worship the God of the river. They'd worship the God of the sun. The psalmist says he created the heavens. God is the God. Yahweh is the God who created the order, created creation. That's why he's unique. He's not geographical. He's not territorial. He's over all. And you might say, Todd, that just sounds so arrogant. Todd, that just sounds so condescending. Do you want me to go to my friend in my oikos who has a different faith practice and tell them they're wrong and I'm right? Well, can I tell you this? What I do, I'm not afraid to go there, but we don't begin there necessarily. We begin with what the psalmist has said, declaring the praise of Yahweh. Not getting into a confrontational shouting match and debate, that's nowhere in this psalm. This psalm is all about vertically thanking, praising, declaring the greatness of God, and seeing that ripple into the lives of the people who are listening nearby. That's what this psalm is about. So no, I'm not saying that this psalm tells us, man, go and get in that argument this week. Go and tell that other person how wrong they are. But it does begin with this awareness. Look in your notes. Apart from Jesus and his saving work, all of humanity, including those who are religious, are bound for an eternity apart from God due to their sin. And some of us would think, man, but Todd, they're so sincere. Man, I can't tell you how many sincere people I have met that follow a different faith practice than the one that names Jesus as Lord. But there's nothing in God's word that tells me that sincere people are in the right place related to judgment from God. So therefore, I can't say that. And so I have to come into this reality. Two big things. Number one, I have to accept, is this true? When God talks about himself exclusively as being the God, is that something that I've bought into? Is that something I have put my faith and trust in? And then if so, then the second reality takes place. God, you've called me to not keep that to myself, but to make sure people around me hear it as well. And the way that they would hear it from me is the way that this psalmist has talked about it through the lens of God's character. The reality is we sing about it every week. I don't know if you've thought about the lyrics to our worship songs, but often they're very confrontational. We just don't think of it. A song that we sing on all four of our campuses, Christ Be Magnified. It says this in the bridge, I won't bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. Another song we sing, only a holy God, come and behold him, the one and the only. That's an exclusive statement. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. We've already been told in this psalm, look back to what we saw, to proclaim his salvation day after day, to declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds to all the peoples. And I'm gonna show you in a moment that sounds so just kind of, I'm right, you're wrong, man. It doesn't come from that heartbeat at all. It comes from an entirely different place of what motivates us to be able to share that truth and not keep it to ourselves. Look in your notes, knowing that God so loved the world, your relational world, your oikos, you can walk in full confidence that he would want you to communicate his one-of-a-kind love that extends to them no matter what they've done in opposition to him thus far. We say this all the time, you cannot out-sin the forgiveness and mercy of God. And what is so wild, you think about people in your oikos right now that are a million miles away from God. Right? As soon as I said that, names and faces came to mind. But can I tell you something so encouraging? I've had numerous conversations with you, the people of High Desert Church, who would tell me, man, Todd, before I even knew I had an oikos, there were people in my life that were praying for me. There were people in my life who were talking to me. There were people in my life who were loving me. And they thought I was as far away from God as you could be. And they were right. But God did a thing. And God woke me up. And God got me on my face and I realized how much I needed him and how much he loved me. Do not sell short the work of God's Spirit in people's lives who in your world look like they're a million miles away from him. Because the good news is he is way more powerful at affecting change than you or I ever could in anyone else's life and even in our own. So we say, Jesus, your love for other people compels us and motivates us to want to share this good news because of your great name. But look at another motivator I told you about that I want you to see. Chapter 96, verse 7. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Here's these again, these action verbs. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. Who? Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. This isn't a call to the nation of Israel. This is everybody. Say among the nations, the Lord, Yahweh is the word there. Yahweh reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. I talked about motivation. Why do we care to not just receive this great news of the gospel from God, to not just be able to praise him back vertically? And can I tell you, the majority of churches in America are really happy to have it end right there. God, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for how you've rescued me. I love you. Period. But to recognize, like God's unique people have always been called to, it never ends with me. And one of the motivations of why it never ends with me, this good news, is because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And that motivates us to want to help someone get on the right side of God's justice rather than being under it. That's what the psalmist said. Because of God's character, justice has to come. So beforehand, communicate to the nations, Yahweh reigns. I wonder for a young man or woman growing up in a Jewish family, when the Psalms became available, I just wonder if they read Psalm 96 for the first time or heard it sung for the first time and were just kind of astounded. Wait a second. God's unique relationship he has with us isn't just for us. Isn't just for us, the people of Israel, but he actually loves the whole world. He actually is calling us to be a beacon of light and truth and love to the nations. For some of them, this would have blown them away. Just like for some of us, when you came to HCC and you heard Pastor Tom talk about an oikos and your personal mission to them, and you thought, what? I'm called to that. I thought I was just supposed to love Jesus back and wait to go to heaven. I had no idea he had me here for a more purposeful reason before I do. I wonder if the scales came off their eyes the same way it has for many of us. And we've said, God, I'm so grateful to be included in your plan. Look in your notes. Because Yahweh is the one and only God and sole creator of the universe. That's what that stanza of the psalm said. He created the heavens. It is right that he should expect worship from the nations. It is absolutely appropriate that the creator of the nations would expect all the nations to respond in worship, not just this unique people of Israel, and now today, not just his church. They all belong to him. A quote that was made famous by Pastor John Piper is one of my favorites. He says, missions exist because worship doesn't. And that is pithy as the day is long. Missions exist. The only reason we have both global and personal local mission is because worship doesn't exist in those lives yet. And don't confuse worship with singing, by the way. It's part of our worship, but it's this offering of our lives at the foot of God every single day. That you would offer your body as a living sacrifice. I think a way I like to think about it is, because when we think missions, we always think somewhere else. Look in your notes. This is maybe the way to best personalize it for us. Your personal mission. Your personal mission exists because worship in your relational world doesn't. That's what motivates us. That's what keeps us engaged. That's what helps us when we want to give up and go, God, this person's never going to be interested in you. This person's never gonna be interested in the gospel. It's been literally years. I've been praying for them, sharing with them. Nothing's changing. But God, because they don't yet love and worship you. I'm called to keep reaching them. The good news is, the Bible says clearly that there will be representatives from every tribe and tongue around the throne of God. Revelation 7:9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, watch, from every nation, every tribe, every people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, and look at what they said, salvation belongs not to Israel's God. Salvation belongs to our God. We all have access, and he came to be the savior of the world, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. The great news is that God has called you into a unique partnership with him to be his ambassador to your world. And like I said earlier, don't think nations is everywhere, but here, think of the people in your oikos, and every time that word comes up. And how exciting to think about the way that he wants to work in the lives of people you're connected to, so that they too will be around his throne singing his praise for eternity. This is how the psalm ends, Psalm 96, verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all the creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and all the peoples in faithfulness. The way this psalm ends is a very consistent pattern through the psalms of praise. And what it says is, it's not just enough for the people, for those uniquely made in the image of God, human beings, to praise and worship him. He calls upon the entire created order. Let all of creation, broken though it may be right now, call upon and cry out to the goodness of God. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, I just love the way he words this passage. He says, let's hear it from sky with earth joining in, and a huge round of applause from sea. Let wilderness turn cartwheels, animals come dance, put every tree of the forest in the choir. Man, I just love that. It's so poetic. And the reality is that the creator rightfully expects all of creation to respond to him, because he made all things, and he made all things with the goal that he would have a relationship with them, you most importantly. So that's how this psalm comes together. And I don't want you to miss that in that psalm was again another line of judgment. Tell the nations this great news, because judgment is imminent. Don't fail to ripple out this praiseworthiness of who Yahweh is, because judgment is coming. Man, that's powerful as a motivator. That's powerful when we think about the people in our relational worlds. God, I don't know when anyone's day is up. I don't know the lifespan of anyone in my world. But if they have not yet responded to this Jesus who said, no one comes to the Father except through him, then judgment is going to be on them rather than on the Jesus who walked a road to Calvary and allowed himself to be crucified. And the white hot wrath of God poured out uniquely and directly on him for all of our sin. Judgment is real, but salvation has been made. And that's what we talk about. That's what we share. That's the good news. I know for me, if I was sitting where you're at and listening to this, it'd be real easy for me to go, wow, that's great. I should think about that this week. I want to do more. I want you and I to do something about it this week. Because remember, there were all those imperative verbs. Declare, ascribe, proclaim. So how can we realistically do that this week? Let me give you just a few ideas before we go. Number one, I've told you before we have a tendency of cloaking our words. When you're with people who love Jesus, you'll say things like, man, I can't believe how God is just taking care of our family right now. Man, I can't believe how just good life is because of the way God's protecting us. And we'll say things like that, but then in a different environment, life is so good. Being really cared for right now. By whom? I don't know. Life's good. Life's really good, and we just feel like we're all, and you, even as you're trying to say it, you get wordy because you're like, I said it different to that other guy. Maybe this week, let's stop cloaking our words. And don't worry about if the person listening loves Jesus the way you do. Just be consistent. God has just been really good to my family. I'm really grateful. God is protecting us in a season that's been hard. Say it like it is. Another way we can do that is talking about the attributes. Remember this, all this praiseworthy stuff. Well, it's talking about the character and the goodness of God. And to be able to have a conversation with someone who, again, has not yet placed their faith in Christ, might not believe anything about the Bible to be true, but to be able to say, you know what? I've just been learning so much about the character of God. He's really important to me, and there's something about his truthfulness. There's something about his incredible mercy. There's something about his kindness that just is blowing me away right now. That would be a very obvious conversation in a small group from here at church. But have we ever ventured out and in a conversation where it kind of made sense to be able to say, I'm learning a lot right now about who God is. Maybe another is someone in your oikos is going through a tough season and you've been praying for them, but they might not know it. What about being able to come up to them and say, you know what? I know you're going through a hard time. You've told me about it. Can I just pray for you about that? I can tell you in all my years of having those kind of conversations with people and just making prayer available, I can only remember one time where someone told me no. Because what's their mentality? Well, it can't hurt. So take them up on it. And maybe rather than wait that week and forget to pray for them, can we just pray right now? You'll be amazed at the power of that prayer in that moment. Or maybe finally, we've been talking about declaring our praise vertically, that it has an impact horizontally. Invite someone from your relational world to a worship service. Have them come here and literally be physically next to you while you're proclaiming the greatness of God. And we will do what this last week was all about in the lives of our children. We'll be a people who keep making waves. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for Psalm 96. We're so grateful for your word and this psalm in particular that calls out your goodness, your fame, your renown, but reminds us it was never meant to keep to ourselves. Remind us that we have, like Abram, been blessed to be a blessing, to give it away. And we're so grateful that HDC is so about this. We've understood this for decades. And it's how you have continued to reach people with the good news of the gospel, one Jesus follower at a time. And so we pray we'd be renewed in that. We would hear from your word clearly today that praising you vertically is meant to affect people horizontally around us. Help us make sure we're in earshot where they can hear of your goodness from our lips. You may be here today and you would say, you know, Todd, I have had people talking to me, praying for me, sharing with me about this whole thing about Jesus and how much he loves me. And I've kept them at arm's length. I have not been willing or interested to respond. But today's different. Today's different, and I'm ready. I'm ready for this God who is so praiseworthy. I'm ready to recognize A and admit that I'm a sinner who needs a savior. I need help. I need forgiveness from a holy God because I've lived my way, not his. And I'm ready today to believe that this Jesus that we talked about, who said that no one comes to the Father apart from him, can say so because of what he did. That he lived a sinless life, he died a sacrificial death, and he was raised supernaturally on the third day. What Jesus did sets him apart from anyone else, and he's the only Savior available. I believe that. And see, choose. I'm gonna choose today to put my confidence, my faith, not in being religious, not in a bunch of hoops to jump through, but in simply recognizing daily I'm to surrender my life at Jesus' feet and pursue him with my life. I want that. I wanna respond to that today. And I pray if you are there on whatever campus you're watching this today, would you not hesitate, but right here, right now, respond to this great invitation given to you called the gospel. Father, this week, would you resonate from our lips, resonate from our lives, resonate in the way we love, and would people see Jesus clearly through us? We love you and we pray in Jesus' great name. Amen.